recorded chairperson. My name is Swapi Plaki. I'm a member of the Select Committee. I'm representing Northwest Indies in the NCOP.
That's right. Thank you. My name is Michael De Villiers. I'm in the NCOP representing the Western Cape. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zukiswa Ranto from the Eastern Cape. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
My name is Pinky Mlobe, representing Gauteng at the NCOP. Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members and ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kalfi Mashamaite, a member of this committee, representing Limpopo. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Peter Nishpari from the Department of Social Development.
Good afternoon. My name is Sadi Luka from National Department of Social Development.
Good afternoon. I'm Maria Mabito. I'm responsible for welfare services in the Department of Social Development.
Good afternoon. I'm Lusanda Mklange from National Department.
I am Koni Khanaka from the Department of Social Development.
Good afternoon, all. I'm Roger Galvinde from SASA.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. I'm Wally Tuflans. I'm the Regional Executive Manager for SASA and the Western Cape.
Good afternoon. My name is Lorraine Chobagal from SASA Head Office.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. My name is Sakiru Wachauke. I'm the Acting Regional Executive Manager, SASA Limpopo.
Good afternoon. My name is Homo Sasifularo from SASA Head Office.
Good afternoon, Mpomo Fuke, the CFO for SASA.
Good afternoon. My name is Patricia Maluka from Social Development National Office. Thank you.
Good afternoon. The name is Wiseman Makasela from the National Department of Social Development.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Tandi Sibanyoni from SASA.
And I'm Salvin Jaoma from the National Department.
Good afternoon. My name is Kota Gopagadi from the National Department, Chief Financial Officer.
Good afternoon, Chair members. My name is Zain Dango, the Chief Operations Officer, National Department of Social Development.
Sorry. Afternoon, members. I'm Nungo Landaga Zuma from SASA.
Good afternoon. I'm Zodwa Mfulane, responsible for SASA in the Northwest Province.
Good afternoon. I'm Teresa Shmo from SASA.
Afternoon. Bulum Konelana from DST.
Donna Peterson, DSD. Mokopa, Department of Social Development.
Hakilebo Mudula Sulo, Nibiso Lakaki Lidia, Wahamushudi, Kitwa Province in Free State. Ke setho sa komiti ena ya social development. Ke a leboha modula setulo. Thanks.
Yes. Yes.
Bathabile Dlamini. I'm the Deputy Minister of Social Development.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I'm Nomonde Hasmin, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Social Services. Thank you very much.
I'm Deboho Sibanya, the committee secretary.
Okay. We're done with introductions. Tuli, you're going to ask me.
Tuli Sileganyazo Twalo, the content advisor for the Select Committee on Social Services. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Let me take this advantage to kickstart the work that we have come here for in this meeting by going straight to the apologies. Now that we are done with the introductions, and check who else is supposed to be here, who's not here from the side of the committee. Okay, there are some apologies of members we had to leave because of other commitments in their provinces that are urgent here. They are not here right now. Thank you very much. Okay. For instance, Honorable Makate and Honorable Buroto, they couldn't be here with us in this meeting. And go straight to the briefing by the Department of Social Development. What I'm requesting from the department is to make all its presentations at once, so that when we ask questions, we ask from all those presentations, because I know they link, they are linking from one another. So we don't want to ask lots of questions in one presentation and leave some important issues on the other presentation. So I would like to hand over to the department to lead us on this presentation. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chair. Just before we start, we just got the delegation from the National Development Agency that has just joined us. And in terms of the presentation, Chair, what we will be doing is the NDA's presentation will be integrated as part of the department's presentation, but I will ask the CEO of the NDA to speak to those slides. She's sitting over there. And then also Sasa's presentation will then follow immediately after this, and then we can have the discussions. Chair, the presentations are quite lengthy, so I'm going to try and go through them as quick as possible.
Yeah, please try and find a way of summarizing them, because some of the members, and I'm sure some of you will be leaving very soon, because some people have to catch some flights this afternoon. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, what I'm going to start doing then is perhaps just giving members a quick sense of what our strategic thrust is, the vision and mission. The vision of the department is a caring and integrated system of social development services that facilitates human development and improves the quality of life. And our mission is to enable the poor, the vulnerable, and the excluded within South African society to secure better life for themselves in partnership with them and with all those who are committed to building a caring society. The mandate is essentially derived from the Constitution, so I'm going to go through the details of that one. Chair, I'm going to skip the legislative frameworks because, and I'm going to skip the structure of the department because it's quite lengthy. We did it when we had 3 days with the National Assembly. Chair, this slide is, I think, important because it gives us a sense of who's here today and the structure of the department and the sector. We generally begin to refer to ourselves as a social development sector in the sense it talks about the national department, and I think important for this body, the 9 provincial departments and link to them the districts and service points. But also importantly, we've got 2 major entities that are part of the sector. The one entity is the South African Social Security Agency that will be making their presentation today. And the second major entity is the National Development Agency. Both of those entities have got what they call regions, but essentially a visibility and a presence in the provinces. So there's some issues that we can be engaging with around that. So essentially that is the sector that you're engaging with today. I'm going to skip these. I think I've explained the institutional linkages. I think very importantly in terms of our thematic areas, now we've got the following thematic areas: tackling child poverty, tackling adult and older persons poverty, facilitating social cohesion, youth development, sector capacity building, governance and institutional development, and also regional and international solidarity and engagement. So these are the key thematic themes to which a lot of our strategic objectives and annual performance targets speak to. So I'm going to skip the introductory sections on the key priorities unless members want to go through that. But in essence, in terms of speeding up growth and transforming the economy, and you'll see that the strategic priorities also then link to the medium-term strategic frameworks of government. I think the most important one here for us is the implementation of early childhood development, fighting poverty. If I'm going too fast, please stop me, Chair. I want to get to the annual performance target. Okay, so in terms of the annual performance targets, Chair, we've got in the national department three major program areas. The one is around comprehensive social security, and the annual performance target in that area is to reduce poverty, vulnerability, and risk exposure through social assistance and also social insurance measures aimed at protecting ordinary people against life cycle hazards and shocks that threaten their livelihood. So it's both minimum guarantees in terms of social assistance, but we're also seeking to build the second component of the comprehensive social security system, which is social insurance. We've also got the DDG, JOMA, and there's questions around that that we can engage further. The second area is around setting up a mechanism to deal with appeals where SASA decisions may be brought into question and the public actually have the right to appeal those decisions. So we're setting up a tribunal to deal with that, and also a comprehensive appeals stakeholder liaison framework. And then part and parcel of that is to review and propose a reform of social security legislation pertaining to all of these. The second major component of our program area is welfare services. And there we seek to improve welfare service delivery by developing, piloting, and implementing norms and standards for delivering social welfare services. So you will find that as we present, you'll find that the distinction between the national department and the provinces is at the national level we develop policy, develop programs, and set the guidelines for the implementation of those policies. So you'll see a lot of talk about policy development and norms and standards. The provinces essentially begin to implement. They become the implementing agencies together with NGOs. So just to give you a sense of the way the presentation will be flowing. We also seek to reduce substance abuse by developing regulations for substance abuse by 2011. To transform services to older people by developing service delivery guidelines in the same period, to protect and promote the rights of people with disabilities by facilitating and developing policies and strategies for disability by 2011. So on the welfare services component is to improve the protection and care of children by facilitating the implementation of the Children's Act as amended, and also strategies aimed at promoting children's rights. To empower families by developing an integrated plan for implementing the family policy, and to protect people affected by violence and crime by developing a shelter strategy and victim empowerment policy. Essentially, that is around victim empowerment and also prevention of violence. The third component of our programmatic work is around community development, and there we seek to protect and empower vulnerable youth by auditing youth services by the year 2010, and also strengthening the capacity of practitioners and communities to achieve sustainable livelihoods by completing and launching a set of pilots and a toolkit that we've been working on. That should be done by March 2010. We also seek to improve community food security by developing a concept document on community food banks by March, and also working in partnership with the Food Banks Association of South Africa, and we've also got a prominent figure in that, which is Melusi, the bishop from the NDA, who is the chair of the NDA. We seek to improve community development practice by developing a national community development framework focusing on professionalization and skills development for community development practitioners. the time to go, Chair. Further on in community development, we seek to ensure efficiency in the NPO nonprofit organizations registration facility. Chair, one of the key pieces of legislation, because we're going through this quite fast, is we are responsible for administering the Nonprofit Organizations Act, which requires us to firstly facilitate voluntary registration of NPOs, and then secondly facilitate fund spending accountability and provide support. So that set of annual performance targets talks to that objective. We also seek to reduce vulnerability to HIV infection and mitigate the impact of this by developing guidelines to promote behavior change. So essentially a set of goals around changing consciousness and behavior in the area of HIV. So this is moving into the support structures, but you'll find that the support structures are also mixed with core programmatic activities. So in terms of our branch strategy and governance, there we seek to improve planning and service delivery in the social development sector, which we've outlined, through best practice and planning, improving our business process, and also facilitating customer-centered service delivery models. I think the important point there is to improve services. And, you know, customer care isn't just a fancy word. It's actually about improving the way that staff behave in relation to clients, but it's also about facilities in which people interact. So the better the facilities and the better the staff, the better the experience for people who actually need critical services that social development provides. We also seek to improve accountability and promote service delivery across the sector by implementing a comprehensive M&E system, which means working throughout the sector around M&E. I think improving corporate governance of public entities, which is one of our functions, and then also to integrate population trends and dynamics into our planning. We are also responsible, Chair, for the white paper on population development, and this unit, the Chief Director of Population Development, seeks to assist the sector but the whole of government in its planning by providing statistics on population development and trends. In terms of financial management, that's a key achievement, Chair. I'm going to skip the key achievements because it's talking to what we've done in the past. Chair, I would like to ask the CEO of the NDA to very briefly talk to these slides.
Often, Chairperson or protocol observed. The National Development Agency is a Schedule 3 organization, and our primary mandate, Chairperson, is to contribute towards the eradication of poverty and its causes by granting funds to civil society organizations, implementing development projects in poor communities, and strengthening the institutional capacity of civil society organizations. Our secondary mandate has got to do more with research and development, and it's to promote and consult dialogue and sharing of development experience between civil society organizations and relevant state of organs. Undertake research and publication aimed at providing the basis of development policy. So not only do we give funds to projects nationally, and we have provincial, we do that via our provincial offices. We also do research, relevant research on civil society organizations, and we have debates on an annual basis. Our vision is to develop a society free from poverty, and our mission is to facilitate development through targeted grant funding, research, and strategic partnerships. Since inception in March 2000, the NDA has committed to projects in the following sectors: economic development, food security, community health, and education. We have more than 417,000 direct households have benefited from our projects, and indirect benefits was over 2 million people. For this year, 2009-10, we've got four goals, and our first goal is to promote sustainable development. The purpose of this goal is to contribute to the eradication of poverty through grant funding and resource mobilization. There's four outputs that will speak to those purpose and to that goal, Chair. The second goal is to promote organization sustainability, development practice, and excellence. The purpose of this goal is to develop additional income streams.
Honorable Chair, can I interject? Can I just find out, do we have the, we don't have the this presentation in our position. And then I found it difficult to get a presentation while we don't have a document. As if we are in the classroom.
Was it not circulated? It's part of those documents. Honorable Mashama, I have documents that were circulated, lots of documents. I have them here, some of them that were circulated by the department on time. Yes.
We only received the strategic plan of the department and documents from SASA, but not this presentation.
Okay, thanks very much, Comrade Masham, Honorable Mashamay. I'm sorry for that. There are documents that are here that were not circulated on time, specifically on this particular presentation on NTE. When? No, they're saying they don't have them. Okay. Yes.
So, what we've done is, because of the time constraints that we've foreseen in this presentation, we had integrated the NDA slide with the presentation of the department. So, the handout of the department, the slides on the handout of the department includes the slides of the NDA as well.
Okay. Okay. Can we continue, members? Let's continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second goal, we have four goals, like I stated earlier. The second goal is to promote organizational sustainability, development practice, and excellence. The purpose of this goal is to develop additional income streams to build and sustain the capacity to enable us to operate efficiently and effectively. Chairperson, on an annual basis, we get over 400 applications for grant funding, and we don't have the money to support these grants, and we are trying to resource mobilize to have additional income streams to give more money to projects. There also we have quite a few projects that we will endeavor to support those that go. Goal 3 is to promote interface between the CSO's research institutions, development practitioners, and the state on development issues. And year to year we are having a few dialogue sessions and conferences this year to facilitate this goal. And the purpose is to facilitate dialogue to inform development policies and service delivery. Our fourth goal and our last goal is to facilitate research that inform grant funding decisions, procedures, and development policy. The purpose of this is to facilitate information and knowledge generation to strengthen the development program of the NDA and informing development practice and policy. And our output there is to support our goal. The NDA receives an annual allocation from National Treasury through the National Development Department of Social Development. 65% of total allocation is allocated to grants through our CSO program and to implement poverty eradication programs. Grant allocations is proportionally split among provinces using the predetermined formula based on Statistics SA poverty indices. The biggest allocation historically have been to the following provinces: KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. Since 2007, the NDA took a strategic decision to increase baseline allocation to Free State, Northwest, and Mpumalanga province. NDA provides grants to CSO to implement projects in income generation and food security sectors to eradicate poverty. The NDA grants funds to CSOs through two approaches, namely the RFP approach, a request for proposals, and the program formulation. Funds granted to CSO are in line with the PGDS and IDPs and government-wide priorities. These are some statistics, Chair. You can see for the Eastern Cape, number of projects approved thus far is 75. Free State, 39 projects have been approved. Gauteng, 42. KZN, 41. We have a total of 408 projects on our database. And the totals, the corresponding totals are there. I'll skip the slide, Chair. We also have a program called Capacity Building, which we are focusing on this year also, Chair, and we are and this is also each project that we have on our database, we also allocate a certain amount to it for capacity building and to strengthen those civil society organizations. I'm not going to speak much about it, but we also not only do it through our projects, but we have special programs and projects where we target specific organizations and faith-based organizations where we give those monies to. Challenges, poverty and unemployment continue to ravage our society, and thus many poor households are vulnerable to numerous social ills like extreme hunger, social crime, women, child abuse, and impacts. And this impacts negatively on the moral fiber of a society. National discourse on the reforms of retirement provision continues to be heard.
Thanks, Jay. Because we've integrated the presentation, the NDA was going to take up the challenges of the National Department. So I'm going to ask the CFO to run us through the financials for the DSA.
Thanks, honorable members, Deputy Minister, colleagues, Chair of the NDA Board as well. I will also follow suit. I will try and be very fast. In my presentation, just on past performance, I don't want to go and dwell much, but just to indicate that if you look at our department's total budget, the bulk of that goes on transfers, mainly transfer to households, that is the social grants. We were appropriated 76.5 billion. In the previous financial year, and we spent 76.096, which is 99 point something percent of the total budget. Now, this is a trend. Over the last 3 years, we have been spending roughly more than 98% of the budget. I'll come back later to this because it has an impact on future allocations because of some of the pressures that we're currently facing. But presently, there is enough capacity to implement programs, but what is not enough is funding. I'll skip the numbers. I will just focus on the graphs. I will just highlight where there are some serious challenges, if need be. But as I said, I don't want to dwell much on the past performance. I'll look at the budget allocation. FAFSA grants as well. If you look at last year, 2008-09 financial year, you'll see that we spend 99.37%. Perhaps Fafa, CFO and CEO will add more detail on that. But I think there has been quite significant improvement in forecasting for various grant types. The biggest pressure for Fafa now is more on the re-engineering we're talking about, that is on the administration budget. We have serious shortfalls there in terms of allocations. There was, for the last financial year, a small amount that we didn't spend. It's largely few transfers, I think not more than three, for certain organizations that had serious problems. We've asked for a rollover with Treasury, and we're hopeful that we'll get that, because those are earmarked funds. The reason for not transferring the money was largely internal administrative challenges within those organizations. One of those three was a private company liquidated, but it went kind of liquidated, yes, I must have put it like that. But the others, it was more compliance issues that we see, the shortcomings, which in terms of the PFMA, we can't transfer the money without sorting out that. We have sorted it out with them now, and we have approved the transfer for this current financial year. One of the things I just wanted to highlight in terms of what I said with the future allocations, we have been having commitments that we are on the cash basis of accounting. So at the end of the financial year, we must return the money that's unspent to Treasury. But for us, fortunately, we've been spending almost all the budget that has been allocated. But there are commitments that roll over from year one to year two to year three. That is the picture that I'm trying to show there in those slides. But in that slide, that some of the commitments that are rolled over to the new financial year, then they become the first claim on your budget for that current year, that current financial year. So if you don't get rollovers, it becomes even more challenging. If you look at 8-9, for instance, we've requested a rollover of 40.4 million from 7-8 financial year, but we only got 11.8, which means the difference we must fund from the new budget for 8-9. Now, any commitment that we carry over now from 8-9 to 9-10 is going to be a first claim on our budget for this current financial year. Over and above that, as you know, all departments and provincial sphere as well is affected by the economic downturn. We've been having budget cuts, and we had plus minus 20 million of our budget for goods and services being cut down by Treasury. So there are serious challenges when it comes to that. Then there's the MTF allocation. I just want to explain this slide. If you look at the second column, it basically shows what we asked for, which is the actual bid that we submitted for this current financial year. We all know that there are competing demands, so we look for areas where we think it's critical priorities that we need to fund. For instance, the implementation of the new legislation, early childhood development, etc. The appeal tribunal. Appeal tribunal is one of the biggest cost driver for us for now. And we were only allocated 10 million over each year, which is over the MTF was 30 million. However, Treasury said to us, go back, put together a comprehensive business case so that we can consider what are the needs. There are three phases for this. One is actually to address the backlog. There has been mention of backlogs on appeals even at the time the minister was presenting the budget in the main chamber. The amount needed to do that is far more than that 10 million that we received. I must say 10 million was just an additional to the 20 million we had in the baseline, so we had total about 30 million, which is still very little for us to address the appeal backlog.
over and above the past roles, we have to deal with establishing the actual institution to get the appeals panels to convene, to get the staff to support them, to get the relevant necessary infrastructure and equipment. Lastly, we also need management information systems, which are going to be quite costly. So in that business plan we submitted to Treasury, we have identified detail in each of those areas. So we look at what is it that they're going to prioritize. I know Treasury already has indicated that their focus mainly is going to be on the backlog first. When it comes to grants, I think we're comfortable there in terms of actual grant expenditure. We are estimating this year that we will save, we'll probably save something around plus minus 300 million out of the 71 billion that was allocated, which is quite a good estimation of costs. The areas that were not funded, there are challenges. For instance, we have now a number of cases that are going to court in terms of litigation, and we need to find money to pay some of those legal fees. There's a need to implement the human capital strategy for the sector, and we need funding for that. However, we are aware that the situation is not only affecting us. So we are looking at some of the work being started within reprioritization of whatever resources we have currently. For instance, the OSD, we have to find money to implement that. But for the entire sector, it's going to cost us about 155 million. Money was received in the previous financial year, but as you know, the OSD agreement has recently been signed. So there will be a big pay from 1st of April last year. So provinces have already made plans. They've asked for rollover of that money. So we will be able to implement the OSD. Chairperson, I'm not going to deal in detail with what was now the allocation, but there it is. It's in the presentation. It's pretty clear what was the baseline and what was the additional allocation and what was it for. You can see all the figures there. As I indicated, we funded the appeals, we funded the grants. Some of the amount was just inflation adjustments to make sure that we carry on with the work that we started. I think that's all on the budget. Let me just go to the slide that speaks to the budget pressures, just for your information. Chair, in summary, this is the key, what we regard as our pressures on these future budgets. The first one is the expanding international commitments and engagements. We have toned down the work that we do, for instance, in the DRC because of financial constraints. But we in the past financial year, I think one of the departments that did well in supporting the Congolese. Litigation costs I've mentioned, increased need for additional office space because we are expanding, especially with the establishment of the tribunal. We need additional office space. Where we are accommodated now, we cannot fit. Seriously, also, when it comes to that, I can just mention that also we're looking at social development infrastructure in general. We have submitted a bid, actually, today, as it is the deadline for submitting infrastructure bids. We know the constraints, but we're trying hard to convince Treasury to look into this, because social development infrastructure has been neglected for quite a while. The establishment of the Inspectorate for Social Assistance, this is in the Act. We have to do that, and we need funding for that. The tribunal has spoken to that. The OSD, there are provinces that are likely to have difficulty because of budget pressure in other areas. So not everyone has received. Personally, as a national department, we also never received this money.
we must create around our own budget that is very meager to get some funding for this. Lastly, some of the commitments that I indicated that flow from the previous year are going to be putting pressure on our budget. Chairperson, that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There's just one more presentation, and that is from SASA. Ms. Tandi Sibanyoni will do that presentation. She will...
Only 15 minutes to do the presentation.
She'll start the presentation while I put on the bioscope. People have got copies of the slide, so I'll put on you.
Thank you, Zee. Good afternoon, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm just going to quickly run through the SASA presentation just to take you through some of the planned targets for the current financial year. But just as a reminder that SASA was established for the administration, management, and payment of social grants to the eligible beneficiaries. But in addition to that, SASA also has a mandate to provide and implement comprehensive social security to all deserving citizens of South Africa. The presentation, the SASA presentation. If we can just page through to page 3, that's where we'll start with the presentation. SASA is now entering its fourth year of operation since its establishment in April 2006. And I must say, that's how we've made good progress in terms of operationalization of SASA itself as a public institution. And we are now in that phase where we have to start now moving towards a more comprehensive social security, though we still face a lot of challenges with regards to improving efficiency and effectiveness in the way we administer social assistance. But the threat plan aims to address some of the challenges that we've been experiencing, and we have a few guiding principles that guide us as SASA. And one of the guiding principles is our vision, which is a comprehensive social security service that assists people to be self-sufficient and supporting those who need the support. Our mission as SASA is to manage quality social security services effectively, efficiently to eligible and potential beneficiaries. And our strategic objective then is to build a high-performance institution which manifests itself by compliance to good governance principles, and we strive as well towards operational excellence through continued service delivery improvements to our beneficiaries. We have a few values that we aspire to, including transparency, integrity, confidentiality, but most importantly, we want to provide a customer care-centered service to our beneficiaries. Just to quickly run through some of the achievements thus far since SASA's establishment, because I believe these are important, to give you a picture of what SASA has been up to since its establishment in April 2006. We have increased the number of pay points where people can go to access grants, where people can go to get payments, to 9,328 across the country. We have 221 local offices and 923 service points. So I'm sure honorable members will be glad to know that there is a service point close to where they come from in their provinces. And we have acquired 40 mobile units that assist us to reach the people, particularly those in deep rural areas. And we also implemented an integrated community and rural outreach program, which is a program aimed at improving access to grants, particularly by those people in rural areas. And we have tried to reach all our beneficiaries in terms of providing information in their own languages. So we have pamphlets, provide information about the different types of grants that we're providing, as well as the values of the grants in all the 11 languages. And we can safely say that there is increased awareness of eligibility to social grants by the respective beneficiaries. And we know previously we had a problem with the assessment of disability, so we have developed a standardized disability tool to try and standardize the way disability is assessed across the country. We have reduced the turnaround time from 3 months to at least 3 days, but in some areas we can actually approve a grant within a day. And we have been able to reduce litigation costs from 75 million to 21 million rand. And we've dealt with most of the backlog on disability grants. I'll come to the challenges later, but Suffice to say that though we've made progress, we also realize that we still have a long way to go, and thus we actually determine the three priorities that should guide us as an institution going forward, with, to enable us to reach our mandate and to achieve our vision as an institution. The first one being the customer care center benefits administration and management system that we want to focus on. The second priority for SASA would be to improve the organizational capacity, not only looking at the people working for SASA, but also looking at the systems, all the enablers that will make us efficient as an organization. The third priority would be then the comprehensive and integrated social security administration and management service that we need to provide. Just to take you some of the outputs, linking them, the outputs are grouped together and linking to the priorities that they support. The first priority of customer care center benefits administration and management, the first output there is policy and legislation changes on social on CSG and age equalization. We know last year the Social Assistance Act was amended to provide for a child support grant to children up to the age of 15, and as well as also equalize the age, the eligibility for grants for men. So we will be working towards that. This year we will be providing grants to men between the ages of 60 to 61. The other output that we aim with some, the other thing we intend to do is to develop a beneficiary maintenance framework. We have been having problems with our beneficiary data, so we are in the process of conducting reviews as well as life certification to make sure that the data that we have on our system is at any given time clear. And we don't have duplicate IDs, we don't have duplicate beneficiaries on our system as well. And we also in the process of developing a comprehensive payment management system, and the focus there is to encourage our beneficiaries to try and utilize the banking services to access their grants, because we believe that's the most efficient way of accessing grants, and it's going to be cost-effective as well for government. And one of the things that we believe will really help us is the automation of our core business system throughout the country. We want to make sure that we are all connected and our beneficiaries can access grants at any pay point, at any office throughout the country without having to go back to their provinces to apply for grants. So we are automating all our business processes, and we hope this will really help us go a long way. But one thing that I want to bring to the attention of the committee that will be happening is the business process re-engineering that we want to embark on as SASA, because that should inform our service delivery model. We want to know whether we correctly wired as SASA. We have the right people with the right, not only competencies, but also the right qualities to provide the kind of services that we want to provide as SASA. Chairperson, I'm quickly running through some of the key ones because I believe due to time constraints, we cannot cover all the details are in the express plan itself. The other thing that we want to implement this year is the corporate compliance and integrity model, which will focus on reducing fraud and corruption in the grant administration system. This is going to be a more proactive approach towards fraud management, because all along we've been chasing criminals, and the more we chase them or the more we put them in prison is the more they steal from government. So we're coming up with a more proactive way that will prevent them from even accessing the grants in the first place. And I'm just picking those that I believe would be of much interest. There's always been questions about, you know, the number of grants, the number of people getting grants increasing on our system. Unfortunately, as SASA, we are forced to continue to provide social assistance to people because it's their constitutional right. But in providing that, we're also trying to find a mechanism of linking them, particularly the young mothers. As we register you for a grant as a young mother, we need to link you to other social services to make sure that the child who's getting a child support grant also goes to school, also attends clinic, and gets the necessary immunization, and the Department of Education can also track at the right time whether that child is definitely going to school. But But at the same time, we're also trying to link up with other government departments like your Department of Labor by way of trying to link those young mothers to those institutions where they can probably provide skills for them so that they are able to get jobs for themselves. And that will help us really find sort of an off-ramp for people that we're registering for grants, particularly young mothers, because we believe they can still do something for themselves. But in addition to that, as part of the social security reforms, we will be developing an institutional model on social security, as we all know that we need to move now towards a more integrated and comprehensive social security. Chairperson, I'm not sure how much time do I still have, probably 1 minute, but I'm not going to go through the budget slide. The CFO of Social Development covered it. 4 minutes. Oh, so I still have some time. Okay, maybe I can also touch then on some of the outputs, particularly the service delivery specific outputs, like the ICROP, which is an integrated community and rural outreach program. We really want to intensify this program because we believe this program is a program that can help us interact with our beneficiaries at their level so that we get to understand what kind of services, not only social grants, but what other services do they require from government. And this is something that we will be doing in partnership with other departments like Home Affairs, in such a way that when we go to a particular area on an ICROP program, then we can invite our sister departments to partner with us as the people apply for ID documents or apply for birth certificates for the children. Then SASA will be really available to help those people apply for grants. But at the same time, we have plans to bring the departments like the Department of Education on board to make sure that they also can access our database with an intention to trace children, because we've seen with the program as we provided the social relief of distress, the need out there for children to get to have school uniforms, because it's no use actually saying children must go to school if they don't have school uniforms again. They can go, but we know the situation in school, you know, they get ridiculed and all that. So we want the Department of Education to also come on board to provide some of the services as part of our ICROP strategy. I think I'll stop there, Chairperson, but just to say that as SASA, we are committed to work with this committee, and we will appreciate any input and any guidance from the committee. And I'm reminded that I said I'll come back to the challenges. I was trying to avoid the challenges because normally the challenges mean trouble. But the challenge that the CFO alluded to earlier on, one of the biggest challenges is inadequate funding. We are really battling. Hence the move now to encourage our beneficiaries to go to the banks, because we believe we can make a lot of savings as government if people access their grants through, you know, the banks, because we can reduce the cost of handling fees. The other challenge that we still face is the variance in service standards across all the regions. We know regions are sitting at different levels in terms of the availability of resources. So though we're trying to standardize, but the service standards are still a bit slightly different because of the availability of resources in the regions. We're still struggling to reach some of the beneficiaries, and we will really welcome some pointers from this committee in terms of the communities that we haven't been able to reach, because sometimes we believe we've reached everybody only to see on TV that there's a community that hasn't been reached. So we will really appreciate working with this committee as the people who deal directly with the communities to give us pointers as to where we should be going. And the other challenge that we still face is then the lack of interface with other sources of data. We always get complaints that there are people who are double dipping, children who are getting child support grant and getting child maintenance from the respective fathers, because our systems do not talk to together. But we are in conversation with those departments, like the Department of Justice, and see whether we cannot have that online interface with those departments to enable us to check as we register children for grants whether they are not registered on other systems as well. One thing that the communities normally complain about is the attitude of our staff. And you'll see as one of the outputs that is aimed at improving the capacity of SASA is a change management program that we want to implement, because we acknowledge that some of the people were taken from social development and appointed from other government departments, but because of the agency of establishment of SASA, there was really no not much focus on working on the people to change their attitudes, to build a different culture for SASSA. So with the change management program, we are hoping that we will achieve that, and we will, as part of the business process, re-engineering process, we'll be looking at a profile for a SASSA employee as part of our talent management strategy, and saying what is the profile of a SASSA employee and what kind of people do we have? Do we have the right cadre of people to deliver and help us achieve our mandate as SASSA? And then we'll be doing training placement and matching and placement of staff. That will be also be supplemented by the training of staff where necessary. That concludes it. Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Member.
Thank you very much. Are you done?
Thank you, Chair. I think that concludes all the presenters.
Okay. Thanks very much. Honorable Deputy Minister and the team from the department, I will allow the members of the committee to ask some questions, comments, and clarity. If some of the questions you think that they are too simple or they are not necessary, you must understand that all of us who are new in this portfolio, but more especially on social development, we are in a learning curve. So we'll try to familiarize ourselves with the issues of this particular department. And we will request the department, we will invite the department next time, whereby we will have maybe a whole day to try and understand the department's objectives and the other important issues, what is the department all about, so that we can understand it and be able to carry our mandate of oversight in terms of understanding the issues and also delivering to our people out there. So at this stage, let me allow the members to ask comments and questions. Honorable Makadla? Okay, before that. Honorable Mashamait?
Yeah, before questions, when I was going with the presenter here, she skipped one item here. On inadequate infrastructure, she hasn't talked to that item.
They can also note it when they are responding to all the questions, Honorable Mashama. I'm sure it's noted the inadequate infrastructure. Back to Honorable Makadla. Honorable Mube.
Thank you, Chairperson. Manduli Seku, Deputy Minister Wam no Palawa Mamkulu. Mahlalini ne-members zonke, I am covered with inadequate infrastructure. That was my first question. Thank you. Secondly, there's this issue of regions and districts. What is your policy there? Because as far as I can see, Eastern Cape is working with districts, these municipal districts, the social development offices there in the districts, and that assists many communities, that policy. And this issue of regions, we find that the regions are too far from the districts sometimes, from the districts of municipalities. I want to know, are you working with regions or districts? What is your policy there? Thanks.
Honorable Member, the next one, Honorable Member, your hand was up, then we'll be followed by Honorable Civilians. Okay.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Minister, and your team. Just read on the honest presentation in identifying the challenges, because most of these challenges we were getting them as and when we were doing door to door. The first one being the question of the access to social grants. Most of the communities, I'm not sure whether it's because I was mostly deployed in the colored area. One had lots of complaints from Klipspruit West, El Dorado Park, and also in Inateng, in terms of the whole question of the data and the distances that say you have to take a distance of 30 k's or 20 k's to the center where people register. And also when you have to pick up the food parcels and whatever, you have to also go the same place. Even if there is a volunteering from communities in terms of we can use a hall or you can use a place where the center where the community can come and pick up and staff move away from those comfort zones of offices. But the key to that is the whole question of the turnaround time, which you also raised. The other one is on the CDWs. I'm not sure whether it's in Gauteng only, also it's a national issue. In terms of where they're located, if it is not national, it nor is a provincial issue. That in the province of Gauteng, they are located in the province and not in local government or working together with the councillors where people are. Then you then have this disjointed information in terms of what is known by the CDW is not known by the councillor, and they can't work together. And I know from the strat plan of Gauteng currently that they are looking into ensuring that they're placed down there as well with the councillor so that there is no information gap and they are next to the delivery point. If it is not nationally, then one would, but then maybe there are some lessons that can be learned and also advise other provinces. The other one is the capacity which you have also identified in line with the inadequate funding. We know it's not you, it's Treasury, but people down there, they don't know that it's Treasury that doesn't give you funds. It's just the ANC-led government and government not delivering. I just want to raise the hot potato issue, the OSD which you did raise. That has just been signed, as you said, and the lessons that we should have learned from nurses signed in 2007, 2008, having problems in 2009, because of inadequate funding. So in terms of policy agreement, yes, money is not there nationally, but it is in provinces. And acknowledging that you don't have funding, and there are provinces that are not well-funded also, which we may then anticipate that there will be people complaining from your department in different provinces of the non-implementation or the shortage of that. So in terms of your enforcement, do you have any enforcement capacity or mechanism of all these things that you're identifying? And you have an intention here at national level, which we agree with you, but down there at provincial level, do you have any enforcement and mechanism and of implementation of all these beautiful things? Lastly, maybe in line with the sustainable livelihoods and linking up with the economic depression and your inadequate funding, are there any plans of, I don't know how, where you can promote the co-ops? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got a question around the affordability of old age homes. I know that there's a problem in enough budgetary provision from national government, but in especially in the disadvantaged communities, there's a lot of people who can't access the old age homes, especially that those who've got now in the community. What is the program from the department to maybe assist people who want to go to the old age homes in those communities but cannot access that institutions? And I didn't pick up anything about the loan shark. We want to address poverty, but those people out in our community, over the length and the breadth of South Africa, those people, they are actually responsible for more poverty in our communities. And people who actually do get the grant, they are, you know, some kind of web. And we must try to create some program to help the people so that they can understand those money is actually for them and not for those loan sharks. And the re-engineering, especially in the department in the Western Cape, one of the departments, the re-engineering did take a lot of money. And I'm very careful that in this department that re-engineering don't take up the bulk of the money, because I actually believe that the money must go to the community in our provinces. Then the rollover funds requested. There's 50.4 million requested. And maybe the department give us more clear guidance about what this rollover funds actually is there for. Only approved is 11 million, I understand that. But we requested 40.4 million. And then the banking services chairperson. We know that in our different community halls where SASSA is busy paying out the grants, when the people actually will get their grants through the banks, then there will be a lot of problems, because those auto banks is mostly outside and there's not enough space. So the other thing is that the banks must provide in our different areas more auto banks so that we can quickly handle the payout of grants during this time, especially between the first and the third of the month and I think in the middle of the month, those payout dates there. And my last one is around social workers. We do need a lot of social workers in our schools. And what is the program? Is there a working relationship between the education department and this department? And what will happen especially between the 2008 and 9 or 2009 and 10 around that area? Thank you very much.
Member Mashamita?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We thank Mam Subanyoni for the presentation. There are just some few questions that perhaps we need you to share information. You said in your presentation you don't have the number of beneficiaries throughout the country. I find it very difficult, and I can't agree with you. Maybe you need to, you know, explain further about the number of beneficiaries throughout South Africa, because you were able
to tell us the number of local offices, the number of service points, and then the number of mobile units. And then I don't know if maybe I misunderstood you, but the number of beneficiaries in South Africa, because we are able to know South Africa, the population of South Africa is around 48 million to 49 million population. So I should think you'll deal with that, Ms. Vanyoni. And then there is this problem, which is continuing of you know, elderly people, grant of elderly people. If he or she can pass on before he or she gets a grant, then it's finished. Poor people will try to apply, talk to, you know, the department, but they will end up, you know, not getting that money. And that money was due for the disease. I should say you have to deal also with that. And then another one. It is an allegation. I don't know as to whether have you ever perhaps received a report on that. That at pay point, remember I'm from a rural area, at pay point, these elderly people, the older people, the machine will take out his or her money. The money must be counted on him, on his or her hands, but the 100 rand must remain. The 100 rand must remain. And there is an outcry on that. I don't know as to whether have you received reports like that. Lastly, ma'am, is the issue of people at pay points, those whom you are at are from community level, those who should assist these old people when their money are counted to them. I don't know whether you know about them. Have they been trained? What is the level of their, you know, honesty in assisting these older people? Because remember, in the rural areas, these old people, they don't know how to read. They can't count their money properly. He or she will want to count his or her money while she's at home. And those kind of issues, ma'am, are confronting our people outside there. I think, Honorable Chair, those are the questions that I just wanted to deal with. And lastly, the first presentation from the CFOO, or the COO. I give you a new title.
Operations.
Yeah. The issue of non-profit organizations. You have not shared with us how many did you have for the previous financial year? How many applications have you received for this financial year? I think it will be important if you can share with us that information.
Thanks. Member Ranto.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm from Eastern Cape. So, all of these departments, I am so glad. Firstly, that I can say, I'm so glad to see your faces in the national government. Sure. It's terrible. Firstly, I'm glad to hear that SASA has a plan for those people who cannot handle cases, or those people, the management strategy or if I've heard you clearly, the management strategy, I think it has to do with the way that people are handling people in their offices. Change management, yeah? I'm glad to hear that you've got that in your plans, because our people are not handled the right way in those offices. You have to go there and wear a tie so that they can see you are a teacher or a nurse or somebody else. Then they will handle that person in the right way. And I just want to know, if a province is not performing in an acceptable way, the staff in the province, the whole offices, they are just in a mess. The staff is not handling the finances or the anything that they have to handle it the right way. They are not doing their job. They are not performing the right way. What is the national government doing in that province? Because I should think if the reports are going straight to the the national government is getting the reports, the national government should respond to the province, and the province respond to the locals. You see, because there's that gap that is not fulfilled. Thank you, Comrade Chatterson.
Okay, it looks like all members have had a bite on the presentation. Can I just ask a few questions here? The president, in his speech during the opening of parliament, he has cited a number of key important areas, more especially the cross-cutting ones. The first one is the EPWP, creation of 500,000 jobs. What is the contribution of the department? What are the plans that are in place to contribute to this creation of jobs? Fraud and corruption. We know that this department, at some stage when I was still there, there were serious problems of issues of fraud and corruption. I am glad to hear that it has decreased a lot now. Consultancies. Most of the departments depend on consultancies to run their business of departments. What is the situation in the department, and how do you intend to reduce or limit the utilization of consultancies? The last one is the cooperative that has been mentioned by Member Nube. The department is largely dealing with issues of cooperatives. I know there has been a number of cooperatives in provinces that are existing that have been established by the department. And we would like to see this program being intensified, because some of them, they are not graduating to become much more vibrant in terms of ensuring that they assist in the reduction of poverty in our areas. And lastly is the program that was launched by the former deputy president, Mem Lambo Mnuka, where was it? Northern Cape, if I'm correct. I'm not sure what is the role of the department on that program that was launched there, to a program. It's a national poverty program, something like that. Yes, anti-poverty program. The role of the department, and how do you, if there's any role that you are playing, how do you intend expanding it to the province, to other provinces? The issue of substance abuse is still a problem. We know that the department has got lots of programs trying to deal with the issue of drug abuse, but we see it is still prevalent in schools and other areas, more especially here in Western Cape. It's a worrying factor. Litigation, what is the nature of the litigation that you are referring to in the report? Thanks very much. You can respond.
Chair, if you permit, if I can ask to respond to the questions in the following way. There's a number of questions around social security policy and administration, which relates to both the work of the department and SASSA. I would ask Sandy Sibanyoni and Selim Jehoma to deal with those issues. There's a number of questions around welfare services, particularly issues around older, the elderly, substance abuse. If I can ask Dr. Mabetwa to touch on those. And there's a number of questions around community development, which includes the issues around the anti-poverty strategy and NPOs that have been asked. If I can ask Sari Luka to answer some of those with support from the NDA, because I think some of these questions may not have been directed to the NDA, but they may want to make a specific contribution around those areas. So this is a couple of areas that I may need to just quickly touch on before I hand over. The one question for
you. You are having 25 minutes to respond.
5 minutes.
25
minutes. Okay, so I'll take 2 minutes of the 25. I think there's been a number of questions around infrastructure, regions versus provinces. Now, SASSA may want to discuss, you know, SASSA is organized into regions, and I think they're also thinking of changing that. But the issue of regions, local offices, and infrastructure are very linked. And as the CFO has pointed out, we are very concerned about the fact that there's a definite lack of social infrastructure for us to deliver services. The fact that people have to travel long distances to access services is something that we recognize. The fact that when they do get to those offices and the facilities are not in a good state is something that we are not happy about. So what we have developed is a very detailed customer care strategy linked to our infrastructure proposal. Because what we would like to do is have decent facilities close to where people live, and we've been toying with what is this, the socially reasonable distance that we would like people to be traveling in. And in our bid we're putting in, we wanted to put 2.5 kilometers as a norm from where people are staying, but we've got to go with the accepted norm based on affordability is 5 kilometers. We are not near to that in all of our communities, but we've put that into place to try to get to that so that we actually devolve service delivery to the lowest point so we get resources flowing to where we interface with the public. So we've put in quite an extensive bid on infrastructure for both, and that bid includes the requirement of SASSA, the provincial department, and the national department, because it's a sector bid. And because when people go to local offices, they don't care whether it's a SASSA branding or a national department branding. They see a government branding, or at the very least, they see a social development service center. So we're working very closely with the NDA, the provincial department, and SASSA, about, especially at that local level, to get the right infrastructure. It's going to take us a number of years. We've actually looked at a process where if we get what we want, it will take us 15 to 20 years to complete, because there's been a significant social investment strike, social infrastructure investment strike, and the backlog that we've inherited. There are communities that we provide services to that never had an experience of governance in the past. They never had social infrastructure. They never had offices. And our colleague, Bulumko Melana, has looked at some of those issues. And if he could show you that when we engage again, Chair, we can talk about our customer care strategy and have a look at some of the infrastructure issues that we're trying to deal with, and not just the problems, but also where we want to go to. So I think that for me is one of the key issues that we need to be dealing with. The other issue that I briefly want to touch on, and I know the question is around the Eastern Cape, our colleague from the Eastern Cape, and some of the problems, and I assume it's around the Eastern Cape SASSA offices. What we have done, Chair, is we've put together a team led by the National Department of Social Development, together with some colleagues from SASSA, and we've brought in some people to assist us on that, to begin to look at the human relations issues. So it's not that we're leaving that problem to fester. Actually, we're going to be going in there and actually try and reorientate it ourselves significantly. So we are dealing with that problem. I think both SASSA and the department is aware of the fact that there is a problem and we need to be there actively. So we will be there, myself, together with the CEO of SASSA and others, together with the small team. The last question I'd like to deal with, Jay, is the issue of consultants that you've raised. It's indeed a cost constraint to consistently use consultants to do the work of public sector departments. There are areas, for example, where based on specific skills that we will use consultants, but in the national department we've developed a program to develop what we call an internal consultancy wing, which means we take a section of staff from across all the branches and we've trained them on the core competencies around organizational development, all the kind of things that some consultants would be required to do. So we are shifting those resources away from consultancies where we don't need them, but you will have cases where we do need them. But in terms of the core work that we would do, those are the kind of things we will no longer outsource. I'm sure that I would have a similar strategy in place, but that's something that we're looking at very concretely in terms of our cost-cutting strategies. But it also improves our service delivery and contributes to human capital development. That's just from my side. Let's start with the community development section. So we always start with SASA, and I'd like to turn that around.
Thanks, Chair. I will respond first to the question that was asked by Honorable Member Mube. The question was around the issue of disjointed information between CDWs and councillors. And perhaps one should begin by explaining that there are two cadres who are operating at a community level. We've got CDPs, which are community development practitioners of social development, and you've got CDWs, who are cadres that are deployed at the community level by the Department of Local, I don't know what is it called now, the previous Department of Local Government, Department of Corporate Governance, and Traditional Affairs. So I just wanted to draw a distinction between the two, because the CDW is actually acting as a bridge between government and communities in terms of providing information. They're actually bringing information closer to communities. So they're acting as a liaison or community officers. We have to make communities aware of services out there as they do their door-to-door and establish that there are challenges or there are issues of access that are not services that are not reaching households. Then they provide information. So they actually have to have information of all departments and not only one specific department, so that they can refer and provide the required services by the households at community level. And we've got a Department of Social Development CDPs or practitioners who are facilitating community development or the implementation of community development programs. So mainly their role is to mobilize communities in order to facilitate identification of needs, assets, and also using participatory approaches and engaging communities. They're also contributing in terms of providing support to civil society organizations, registering, as well as ensuring that they are also complying with the NPO Act. They're also implementing youth development programs. So there are those two cadres. And perhaps it is important for us to draw a distinction between which one is actually falling within social development and which one is for DPLG. But what we are doing at community level is to ensure that they work together, because the CDW would refer cases to the Department of Social Development. If it is for grants, they will refer to SASA. If it is for welfare services, they will refer to the welfare services program. If it is a community development issue, they will refer to community development. But then they also refer to other departments, because they are there to provide information on government services in its broader perspective. And then the other issue that was raised by Honorable Mube is with regard to sustainable livelihoods and also linking people to economic activities, and whether there are any plans of promoting co-ops. And I think that is where also the NDA will come in to
just add to that. But I think one should also indicate that as a department, we are dealing with the poorest of the poor and the vulnerable. And when you talk about a sustainable livelihoods, we're actually talking about addressing those issues that actually make these households vulnerable. If they don't have food, if they don't have income, then they are vulnerable. Now, in terms of strengthening their coping strategies, you can only assist them to an extent that they can provide for their basic needs. But what is very important in terms of linkage is to ensure that that linkage is sustainable for it to be able to provide a long-term income to the household. But in this regard, there's a need for partnerships, because as social development, we cannot do it alone. There's a need for partnerships, and you know we've got the new Department of Rural Development, we've got the Department of Economic Development, we've got the private sector, we've got science and technology. It is important for that linkage to take place. So social development would facilitate the mobilization of people and provide them and ensure that those linkages take place, and in supported by the NDA, because the NDA is not only working within the social development domain, but they also are also providing services linked to agriculture and so forth. And I think the same applies to co-ops, because the success of the co-ops also depends on the extent to which they can participate in the total value chain. They should not just be limited to primary production. And that is where there's also a need for partnerships with relevant private sector organizations, businesses, so that they can facilitate their participation in the value chain. The issue of the quality of products. So all those issues are very important for the sustenance of the cooperatives. So what I'm trying to say here is that the Department of Social Development is facilitating the establishment of cooperatives, but then on a long term, there's a need for those strong partnerships between the Department of Rural Development, the Department of Economic Planning, as well as the private sector. The last issue that I will the issue on EPWP and the 500,000 jobs that was raised by the chairperson. The department is contributing in terms of facilitating the implementation of the National Youth Service Program, as well as the Masipatsela Youth Cadre Program. But also, there's also a need to identify other areas, and we had a meeting with the EPWP unit yesterday where we were looking at other areas where, for example, there can be creation of sustainable jobs, particularly for young people. And those would be linked with what we would call social co-ops. And social co-ops would be those co-ops that are bridging service delivery gaps, but in the process, building skills and also creating an opportunity for income. So we're also looking at how we can then increase the numbers. But I don't think it is only limited to community development, because there are also areas within HRD and AIDS, like your home community-based care, as well as ECD. So it's actually cutting across the department in its entirety. But then there would be areas from the community development program. It's the facilitation of the National Youth Service Program, as well as Masipatsela, and also social co-ops for young people to bridge service delivery gaps within social development. And then the role of the department in the War on Poverty campaign, and the extent to which that campaign would be rolled out to other provinces. What one can report is that this particular program is facilitated by the presidency at the national. There's a national task team which the department is participating in. And already there are 150 wards that have been identified countrywide, where the Department of Social Development will be facilitating the profiling of communities, working with State South Africa in terms of bringing together the household as well as the community profiling processes. And the outcome of that activity would culminate into the development of integrated basket of services that will be informed by the outcomes. And those would actually target
the immediate issues, what can be done in the midterm and what can be done in the long term. So out of that information, there would be different programs that are focusing on immediate issues, what needs to be done in the immediate, what can be done in the midterm, what can be done in the long term. But the issue here is that it will not be done by the department alone, but it will be done with all the other departments, because that information will not only be information that is relevant only to social development, but it will raise all those issues that would require an integrated approach in terms of addressing the needs of those communities. So thanks. The NPOs.
Before we do the NPOs, I think there's been a number of questions that's cross-cutting. We might want to come back to that once we've gotten a sense of some of the questions from Welfare Services and also from SASA. But it perhaps not to answer all the questions in detail, but just touch on the issues to the extent that you answer the questions briefly. If we can start with Welfare Services.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm responding to a question. I think there are two, three questions. One is on old age homes, the availability of old age homes in our communities. The Department of Social Development, together with the provinces, are aware that the demand for old age homes is much higher than what we can provide at the moment. And this also, the accessibility varies from one province to another. You find in urban areas there will be more old age homes than what you'll get in the urban areas, in the rural areas or in informal settlements and the like. But what you are currently to really to understand the problem properly, what you are doing an audit of services to older persons in the entire country so that we can do a gap analysis and understand where the gaps are and where do we need to establish these old age homes. But the department works together with the NGOs. It's not the department that owns the old age homes. It's mainly the NGOs that are supported by government. In accordance to the Older Persons Act, with the emphasis is given to community-based programs for older persons that are run by community-based organizations to support the older persons while they live in the community. And then we also give emphasis to frail care. So the move is community-based services and frail care services for older persons. In terms of the question on social workers in schools, this is an old problem that has been discussed, that has been discussed with the Department of Education for some time, but we've not come to a conclusion as yet. We understand the Department of Education has started those discussions again as whether we can make social workers available in schools. In the past, the debate was who will pay for the social workers. The Department of Social Development could not deploy social workers in schools because we don't have enough social workers. Unless if we look at other social service professionals like social auxiliary workers, child and youth care workers. So I think there will be an opportunity for us to interface with the Department of Education on this issue and make them aware of the crisis that we are having in social development in terms of social workers. And then with regard to substance abuse, what are we doing with regard to the prevalence? The intention of the department, together with the provinces and the Central Drug Authority, is to, in this year and the next financial years, is to intensify our Kemoja program. It's a preventative program. And to establish as many local forums as possible so that they will have these preventative programs being undertaken at community level by local substance abuse forums. And we, therefore, we're also saying we need a much comprehensive approach, because the Kemoja program has been focusing mainly on the young people, but not on the entire population, especially the adults. Children learn from adults on the utilization of drugs. So in the future, we'll be having a much, much more comprehensive approach with regard to this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm just going to take you through some of the responses to some of the questions, but I'll do the honorable thing by referring some of the questions to my more learned colleagues. The CFO will respond to two of the questions, and our regional manager at the back there, Dr. Blanche, will also respond to the service delivery specific provincial questions. Starting with the question around the challenge that I didn't mention, the inadequate infrastructure. I apologize for that. I think it was just an oversight. But by inadequate infrastructure, we're referring to a situation whereby we know SASA has been part of the Department of Social Development. And now that the department, now that SASA is an institution, a standalone institution, the department, on the other hand, it has been expanding. So there's a need for us now to vacate the offices that we've been utilizing as part of the Department of Social Development. But the other problem relates more to the availability of infrastructure to enable us to provide the service with dignity. You know we always want to, we always strive to provide the service with dignity, meaning there should be proper offices, you know, that we use as pay points, and there should be ablution facilities, you know, everything that contributes towards dignity. But unfortunately, in some areas, it's a fact that we do not have sufficient buildings in the country to enable SASA to probably rent those buildings and use them as offices, to an extent that we've resorted to using mobile units as well as park homes, you know, the caravans. Sometimes we use those as offices in some provinces. The question from Honorable Member Mube around the fact that sometimes our beneficiaries have to travel a distance of 30 kilometers. We have identified, you know, that well, that's one of the lessons that we learned through the distribution of social relief of distress, that we really need to seriously start engaging with all the other stakeholders. Hence, we developed the stakeholder relations management strategy to ensure that we work with all the stakeholders, be it at local government, be it churches, everybody who can contribute and assist us and be willing to work with us so that we are able to bring the services closer to the communities. So we will definitely look at issues of people not traveling too far to get their grants or to access any services that we're providing. There was an issue about the fact that we don't have capacity, Honorable Member Ngube, and we agree that communities are not interested in who provides funding. They just want services delivered to them. Hence, we're trying to find alternatives as SASA. And I mentioned earlier on the business process and re-engineering process that we'll be going through, because we also want to look at, we know we don't have sufficient capacity, but even the people that we have, do we have the right people in the right places? Because you might find that we have a lot of people probably sitting at regional office rather than deploying the people to local offices when they were mostly needed. So the process will also include some of those issues, looking at whether the people are appropriately placed in positions that will enable them to add value to SASA. But we're also looking at areas where we can realize efficiency gains within SASA. Hence, we mentioned the issue of encouraging beneficiaries to go to the banks, because that can help us reduce the handling fees, and we might find ourselves with more cash probably to enable us to get additional capacity, particularly at service delivery level at our local offices. There was a question about from Honorable Masamaite. Oh, I think it was a misunderstanding that I said we do not have the number of beneficiaries. We do, in terms of the strike plan that was distributed to the members. The strike plan indicates the figures as at the 31st of January 2009, and the figure was standing at 12.8 million. But the stats that we got yesterday from the office is that we're standing at 13.6 million beneficiaries or benefits, not necessarily people, because we need to differentiate. There are grants and there are beneficiaries. So it's, we're paying 13.6 million grants, meaning benefits, not necessarily, and benefits do not equal to grants. Beneficiaries do not equal grants. So the question around fraud within the, I don't know whether it was within the department or SASA.
I
because we have the big money, they have the small money. That's why they think fraud is at SASSA. But we are trying to come up with a holistic approach to fraud management at SASSA. We're trying to improve all the business processes within SASSA, particularly around grant administration. We've started last year utilizing the biometric, which enable us to know at any given time who's had access to the SOCTEM people system, so that we are able to track who's been making, who's been registering information or making amendments to the information on the system. But at the same time, as an internal process, another internal process that we're trying to strengthen is the policy enforcement. We have developed a number of policies, all aimed at regulating the behavior of staff. We have just gotten the minister, the former minister, approving the code of conduct and ethics, which is one piece of paper that really, really will help us regulate the conduct of staff. We are also strengthening our practices and procedures around declaration of interest, and we also started intensifying the vetting process of all staff within SASSA. And the integrity module that I mentioned earlier on is also not only going to focus on external people in terms of, you know, the integrity of the beneficiary of the information provided by the applicants, but it will also look at internal staff, whereby we will be allowed as SASSA to do lifestyle audits on our staff, particularly people in high-risk areas like supply chain. Probably from time to time, we will be doing lifestyle audits on all those people. I will hand over to my CFO, Mpho Mofokeng, to respond to a few questions, and then Dr. Tara Blanks will respond to the other two. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think the question of the region's districts, which was asked by our honorable member, yes, SASSA is represented in terms of, if you look at our regions, they are aligned to provinces, and our district office aligned to municipal district. Our local local service points, they aligned to local municipalities. So we are represented in that regard. With the challenges with the banking, the question about the banking, the ATMs, we are currently involved in discussions with all the banks in terms of them having to roll out their infrastructure, most especially in rural areas, as part and parcel of rural development, that we need to get the complexes in the rural areas, and they must open ATMs there. And already with Post Bank has already given an undertaking that their first ATMs will be actually in the rural areas. We are also not necessarily, we want our people to, when they have the debit cards, not to only use the cards by drawing money from ATMs. We want them to go and use those ATM cards right at the checkouts, the shops, so that we can see what they buy with the money. And then every day we'll be able to come back to you and say they're using their money in the things that they believe that they're supposed to. So the point of sale will be more critical than only taking the money away from ATMs.
Honorable Chairperson, in terms of the few remaining issues, if I can just respond. The first issue that I would want to respond to would be the issue of whether a person would qualify for a grant, and the fact that if somebody would pass away and they didn't collect their grant, whether somebody would still be entitled to get the money. Now, in terms of the legislation, there's provision made that the family member that's responsible for the funeral of that specific beneficiary can submit a funeral claim. And that would then entitle the person responsible for the funeral to claim all outstanding monies for the remainder of that month during which the person passed away, as well as any back pay that the person might have been entitled to receive and didn't receive at that time of passing away to still be paid out. So we've got those processes in place. It's the reason why we don't just pay the money out in cash to a person coming is because of issues of fraud, and also to make sure that the person that will get the money at the end of the day will be entitled to get that, and also to make sure that we contribute to the funeral aspect in terms of the beneficiary. In terms of the issue of pipe points and people from community taking some of the money to count the money for the beneficiary, the 100 rand story, we've actually introduced the cash machines, the ATMs at pipe points, deliberately so that the beneficiary should be the only person that's taking the money from the machine. No hand should come between the machine and the beneficiary. The beneficiary will then take the money, and our experience is, and I've just checked with some of my colleagues from the more rural areas, is that in most 99.9% of instances, beneficiaries will take the money and they will count it themselves. If it should happen that a beneficiary can't count the money, it can be done by a community leader, but when those leaders would be used to do that after the beneficiary took the money themselves, those community leaders will know that they're not entitled to take any money off the beneficiary, and we would want to ask members that if they would know of such instances, that they should inform us, because we will definitely deal with that very harshly. So I would just want to cover two quick aspects that I think we might have missed. The one would be around the turnaround time. Now, we've introduced different turnaround times, and we're phasing that in all over the country. In some of our offices all over the country, we're able to render a one-day turnaround service. If somebody would come with all the documents, when they leave there on the day, they will leave with the letter in their hand to say it's been approved or it's not been approved, but they will get an answer. We can't do this at all the service points because we don't always have access to the technology and 3G cards and laptops at this stage, but we're moving in that direction to be able to render this service in future. Over the next couple of years, everywhere, and it should be able to render the service in terms of one-day turnaround. At the moment, it varies, but we're monitoring that in all the regions to make sure that we render the quickest possible service available. And then the last issue, Chair, the issue of loan sharks. It remains a big problem in many areas in the country, that we do, that beneficiaries make use of the loan sharks. And the approach that we're taking there is that we provide the beneficiaries with information, pamphlets. We're creating awareness that we're telling them of the problems with loan sharks and that they're getting bigger into this poverty trap. And what we're also doing is that we've got an approach in place that when people would give their cards to loan sharks, and when it's confiscated by police or we get hold of it, we would then call in the beneficiary. We will advise them that we will suspend their grants if they give their cards away because it's not allowed in terms of legislation. But it's not an easy thing to manage. We can create awareness from our side, but we can't do the policing in terms of that part, and that's not so easy to do. We had cases taken to court, but unfortunately not successful prosecutions in terms of that. Thank you very much, Jay.
Do we still have time?
No.
Okay. There's a few questions that we haven't answered. We may want to respond to those in writing. I think the one is on the rollover. And then there's also some stuff on the EPW that we want to touch on just very briefly. Okay. Just on the EPW quickly, Chair, I think Sari outlined on the broader scale, but your question was the contribution to the 500,000 by the end of December. Our agreed contribution to that is very minimal. It's within the region of 5,000 to 8,000, but that's at the national level that decision has been made. But I'm sure we could exceed that if we actually upscale our work in the ECD environment and also the home community-based care environment. Also, we've got a responsibility as a department to coordinate the social sector's contribution to that, which includes health and education. So we will be able to give updates on that as we move along.
Well, if I understood the question, the rollover basically is the money that was committed. There are tenders that are awarded, but by end of March, you find that the work is still continuing. So you find that the invoices will come into the new financial year. So we ask for that for that to get that money that we was not spent. Now, in the money that you mentioned, I think the 55.7 million, that was mainly for the MIS, that is the Management Information System, which was implemented by SASA. So we transferred that money to SASA. The 40 million that we asked, we only got 11. Again, it's management information system for the appeals and welfare services for the new register that we are creating, like the child protection register and so on. Only 1 million was for a transfer to an NGO called Planned Parenthood Association. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. My colleague was asking whether I'm going to die. I'm saying, yes, I'm going to die if I'm not asking this, because on Monday we have a briefing with Health Department. So I want to know, where is this question relevant to? It's the issue of when a person that is HIV positive has a CD4 count 200 or below, then you become entitled for the grant. So to say whether it's SASA or whatever, I don't know. And then the person gets ARVs. And then as you eat the ARVs, your CD4 count goes up, and the grant is withdrawn. And what the people were asking us when we were doing door-to-door was that, does it mean, does the government think that when I become better, then I no longer need nutrition and whatever? And we promised that, okay, we will ensure that we raise it. So I'm not sure whether it is located here or is located with Department of Health. So that if it is not located here, I'm able to raise it on Monday. Thanks.
Mr. Joma?
No, we are the department to be asked, but the time is up.
I can answer.
Yeah. Well, Chair, we have been working with the Department of Health in respect of a policy for income support to people with chronic illnesses. It's a very complicated subject matter. The social protection and community development cluster has listed it as a priority issue to be addressed by the Department of Health and Social Development. From the income support side, we will be making proposals to that cluster soon, and the Department of Health will, from their side, contribute to the development of that. So I guess, Chair, if at any stage within the next 2 months there's time, we're willing to take the committee through the issues. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I think I won't allow.
It's not a question
by.
It's an advice.
Okay, wait, Member Ranto. Yeah, I'll come to you. I would like to thank the department for the presentation. But at this stage, I think it is important that I would allow the deputy minister to say something, make some remarks on the presentation and the committee. Also, before I close this issue.
Chairperson, thank you. I thought the managers would be very tired. I think they are energetic. But I just want to say the minister will have time come to the committee so that we can introduce ourselves properly, and we hope we are going to work together in a very positive way. And that doesn't mean that if you want to raise your issues in a radical manner, you can't do that. So we're looking forward to a good working relationship. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, for those words. And I think I would like to take this opportunity. Member Ranto, I haven't forgotten you. We'll be having a number of interactions and meetings with the department. And I'm sure you are all aware. But next time when we call you, we will have NDA separately, have SASA separately, have the department separately, so that we can go deeper into the issues and understand them much better than we are. But this exercise has helped us as members of this committee to understand what is the social development all about, and it understands SASSA at least to some extent, and also the role of the NDA that is playing. And with those few words, the Honorable Deputy Minister and the team from the department, we would like to thank you very, very much, and for bearing with us on the inconvenience that we have caused you on that day. We are again very sorry for that. We apologize for the inconvenience. But from now onwards, we'll be working hand in hand with you and raise our issues and raise and criticize you objectively and criticize, yeah, and engage in robust debates with you. Thank you very much. You next meeting.
I'll tell it quickly.
Thank you.
But I can't take minutes from you. You are in my meeting. You should get minutes from me.
We can work together.
There
was a lady with a grey shirt, a jacket there that was sitting there that was in charge of welfare service. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right. Community development.
They said she was with
Welfare
Services. I'm not sure if that's the same thing.
No, she didn't work as the director. That's what she focuses on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
DSADI.
She's director of community development.
Is there any chance I can make a copy of your so I can... I'll just put the names now, and then I'll get the positions and everything later, so that doesn't take much time. There was a lady with a scarf and glasses.
Scarf and glasses. Where were they seated?
Seated right next to that other lady.
That one I don't remember, but looking at this... I think yes, this was.
She's one of the first presenters. I mean, she's one of the first presenters when he directed them down. So I think she was the first.
The one with braided, with hairstyle.
I don't remember the hair, but I always remember the clothing.
But the main, the one who spoke the long time is this one, who was the main person, Sadi Duka. Which means it would be this one because they're sitting next to one another.
Okay. I think I'll copy the book. A lady named Pandi, a staff representation. She had an orange jacket.
Orange or cream jacket,
well,
the lady
cream,
who was sitting
yeah,
in the
cream, yeah, that color.
She's Sibanyoni. I don't see her. I remember her singing. Yeah, she didn't put her back left. She's Sibanyoni.
Oh, is that a
the main lady who was sitting there among the guys, yeah, yeah, the singing is Sibanyoni.
S-I-B.
A.
A.
N-Y.
N-Y.
Siba, what is it?
S-I-D-A-N-Y.
O.
O.
N-Y.
N-Y.
Yeah.
Siba
N-Y. Sorry, N-I.
N-I.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get her position as well. See if I got his. Got hers. The main presenter, okay, got his as well. And the gentleman that's sitting next to you. Okay, I got him as well.
The last person.
Yeah.
The one who was talking about ATM.
Yeah.
Is Mkhomofuke.
M-C-H-O. M-C-H-O.
Mofuke. M-O-F-O.
M-O-F-O.
K-E-N-G.
K-E-N-G.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll get his name on you as well. Deeper if he's over here. Okay. Sorry, can I get it? Can I make a copy of those?
When?
Now, if you're going to find. Or
no, now, where would you make a copy now?
Are you not going back to your. Because like, are you usually the secretary go back to the. Prominent secretary goes to the.
Yeah, I'm going back to my office.
Yeah, from is that a go? Because I've got the, I needed to join into, well, first of all, I think it was the list generally, because we keep a record of that as well. But then a lot of people have got their names, but I don't have a designation.
No, I'm making it difficult
for you. Can you rather,
do you mind coming with
on
Monday? We're going to,
because
I must now go and deliver this to
members'
station hall.
Okay. And well, one of the other things, I went to TMZ, made a copy, and I dropped it back off. She was telling me what her office number was.
No, I'm not comfortable with that.
Oh, yeah? No.
I'm not comfortable with
it. Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You either go and wait for me and say that, because I must now go and deliver this member's pigeonhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. No, I can't. I'm not comfortable with
it. No, but is that...
Because this is the only copy I have. I can't give it to you for you to bring it on Monday.
No, I'm not to bring it on Monday. To bring it now.
Even
to,
now.
To bring
I mean,
it in 20 minutes.
You know, when if you're in the premises with me, I wouldn't mind. But no. CMG, I mean, is up there.
Yeah. Well, we're very responsible. You do know that.
No, I don't.
We carry on pretty expensive equipment. It's a 20,000 laptop.
Yeah, I don't
so.
Mind. That's your apartment.
No, I'm just saying that we are very responsible.
Then we mind that we know we are an outsider or whatever, and I get into cognition. So that's what I'm saying. Going because as you can see, I've got stuff to tell, but this now I can't take it. That's why I must take it to the member's opinion. Because it's extra for me to carry now and then bring back again on Monday.
So, but my question is, so are you going to know when you'll be at your place?
I'm right? Saying if you become patient. I mean, these people are in the age to take these ones are in much
service. So, I mean, can you give me a time or do you sort of get on with each other?
Maybe I'm going to go to the side.
You guys not using, you guys are using, the way you had said I should be using your stuff. Do you guys not use our meeting minutes?
In what way? That, I can't do that. People do that, but that is, that for me, that's a low thing to do. You come to my meeting, how do I use your minutes?
So you just have your own minutes?
Yes, why should I lie? I mean, that says a lot. That is, for me, that's putting too low. That I take somebody who comes into my meeting minutes. It's my meeting. You are my visitor. You should rather be getting information from me and not
the other. No, I'm just surprised because that's like not the way a lot of the members seem to use our minutes.
Which is wrong. That's just confusing. And they've given PNG that perception that we depend on their minutes. PNG comes to our meeting, they should get
minutes. Well, a lot of people depend on our minutes. That's all. That's
not right. It's not right, absolutely. And it's actually for me embarrassing to hear members.
But how do you?
I went into the PNG minutes and.
Then how do you, because I was noticing you weren't typing, so how do you get the minutes, how do you do the minutes?
I write them.
But like when you, does he,
well, what I do is that I make sure I get the
gist. Okay. No, but you don't take it from a recording.
No, this meeting was not recorded, but other meetings are recorded, but even that is me. I can never, I don't even want to even start entertaining the sort of meetings you make.
So the reason why is because, like, as you were running up and down a lot, that's why our minutes are usually committee secretary's minutes a bit more thorough. Not because of current, because you guys have to a lot of times do things during meetings.
But you shouldn't be a backup. My assistant should be my backup.
Oh, do you have an assistant? Oh, okay. No, that's why. That's what I was asking. Like, how it works when you.
Professional. Well,
I think it's different perceptions. There's a lot of people. I mean, the people that work at PNG are also quite good. Like, I have 2 degrees, so it's not like I'm an idiot. So when we do work, we also do it well. And a lot of times, it's by working. I mean, I think the reason why they do is because our one is more thorough, not because of any...
No. Coaching verbal team is using that. By the way, bearing in mind, which is the other thing, minutes of meetings are supposed to come up with the resolution saying, so-and-so said this. Those are not minutes.
Yeah.
Those are not minutes. Minutes, you summarize the core thing.
Yeah.
The resolutions, like the questions, the comments, those are the gist of the discussion. To say, so-and-so said 1, 2, 3. So-and-so said 5, 6, 7. Those are not minutes. Even if you go to...
I agree. But like I'm saying, hey, you haven't read my minutes, because my minutes don't go, Mr. Sister, so-and-so.
Most of PMG minutes are very much cheap. And some members, because they want to see their name, even said, a member so-and-so said this, member so-and-so, they could... Like I'm saying, out of decency, it's totally, for me, it's too low, actually.
That's what I'm saying. When you're saying things like that, that's what I'm saying. I think it's more like just different stuff. I mean, it's like, I understand your point of view. I don't agree with it, but I understand it, so it's fair enough, you know?
I think
you know,
people have used you and giving you a wrong perception of what your role is. You are an observer of what I do.
I'm an observer of what the meeting does, not what you do.
What I'm saying is, you... I'm saying everybody, I can say my meeting in that way because I'm the one sort of administering it. That's what I'm saying. You are my observer. Okay. Or you are a parliament, you are an observer. You are an outsider.
Parliamentary
it's for me, for example, you are just like a news reporter. Can you imagine me going to a news reporter to say, you are sitting in that meeting, what were they saying? It's the same as this. That's the level at which you are.
No, we're not.
You are, okay, you are in that category.
No, we're not. That's what I'm trying to say.
You are not part of
parliament.
No, no, we're a separate category. No, hear me out. Like, we're a separate category in that newspapers obviously come to get a story and then they try to, like, for whatever bias they are. But no, but we're an independent, we're more independent objective organization. That's why we have to, by law, I mean, by our policies, we have to video record, I mean, sound recorded.
The whole idea of CMP being set up like that in the first place was executed to monitor parliament.
Yeah.
So how do I then go to someone who's supposed to be critical to me to say, by the way, what did you hear? That's stupid to say the least. What did you hear? Did I hear properly? Why are you supposed to be critiquing me?
But this is like, we're not critiquing you.
But I can't. By law, I can't be using your name. They do it, but it's not right.
I
just think of the rationale. They may be doing it, it is not.
Well, you keep saying about law. I haven't seen that in any law book. But
what I'm saying is, it's indecent, if I may use that word. Maybe I'm using a wrong word by saying law. It's indecent. It's just
but then,
acceptable for me. I can never use your minutes to write my minutes. Yes, you can get me 9 minutes and do whatever with them, but it is my.
Oh, no, no. When I meant help, I didn't mean I was going to use your minutes.
This level of this is that you say other committees are used by me. But saying they may be doing that, but it is not right. It is actually should be the other way.
No, when I was trying to say that, I was just more like to assist each other, because at the end of the day, we provide a service as well. And
because
in
the public,
hey?
In the public, most of the public.
Whether you agree with it or not, it's not just to the public. We provide a service also for ministers. We provide a service also for MPs. Whether you agree with it or not, ultimately
that's the
thing.
The MPs shouldn't be looking at it. That is where the confusion comes. They shouldn't be looking.
I don't think it's confusion. I think it's being pragmatic, because at the end of the day, I've seen some secretaries, ministers, because they are busy. This thing, it's not about talent, but because they are busy, it ends up being very poor ministers. Because they're busy.
So now you see where this is the other thing that you've now even put yourself in a sort of pedestal, if I may say. That's what I'm saying. For me, you belong in the same category as reporting. Your matrix may be different, but you are an observer of my meeting.
Oh no, I don't look to see it as categories. Or pedestals. I could see the functions. Like at the end of the day, if someone has a good bunch of minutes that someone would like to use for functional purpose to make their knowledge better.
Just think about the logic of that. It is not right to be there. It isn't. You know, I can brainstorm with my colleagues. We are on the same side. You are observing me. How do I brainstorm with you? For what? We run a service to the public, yes, but it's from different perspectives and different roles.
Well, I don't know. So it's difficult to explain, because at the end of the day, it's not like I'm saying...
Because members do that, and most of them have been reprimanded for doing that. Because you find a member coming to a committee...
Well, then a lot of your members and a lot of your committee chair people are going to get reprimanded, because a lot of them...
That's why some of them have, because they are confusing the roles. They have confused roles, and that's where now PMD has probably found this false...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's a false idea. It's just being... the reality of the situation. People do use the minutes, but I'm not like
it
saying...
It is not right to do
but
so, that's
but
what
like,
I'm saying.
All I'm saying is that it's the reality. It's whether you think it's right or wrong, it's
it
the
is,
reality.
It is not. And even if you go to the Chamber of Parliament, you tell me the same thing.
What? It's not the reality
of people
use
it. Remember, my staff can't be going to PMG minutes to get what was happening in a meeting of Parliament.
No, I'm saying it's the reality of the situation that members use our minutes.
For some reason, but it doesn't make it right. They may be doing it, that I'm emphasizing, it doesn't...
So they should only use committee secretaries meetings, minutes, no one else.
For example, quoting in a committee meeting minutes by PMG. Who was the secretary for that committee?
No, members.
I'm saying, for a member.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the logic? Quoting PMG minutes for... Whose meeting was it? Was it PMG minutes?
No.
Yeah. So,
it was a PMG minutes, yes.
I'm saying, was it a PMG meeting?
No.
Yeah. That's it. You've got to answer. It's silly, I must say. And it doesn't...
But that's what I'm saying. Without putting on a pedestal, because I don't view it as a pedestal, ultimately, I just think that people should work together, because at the end of the day...
I don't mind
at the end of the day,
what I'm saying is, I find it indecent.
It says a lot about me. I've got to go to you and ask for the minister.
Well, Bumanfa, the reason why I said it's like working together is I have to come to you. I don't mind you doing that,
but I find it would be different of me to come to you to ask for a minister. The fact that other committee secretaries have done it. I know there are even some other committee
members. Well, other cabinet secretaries, other committee members, and the committee chair people.
Who go to TMZ minutes and just...
But my point is, one or the other, I don't feel strongly about it. Whether they all stop using the minutes, it doesn't really bother me. But the chairman, members, and committee secretaries...
But that's what I'm saying.
I think maybe I can give you the names, you can talk to them, but at the end of the day, that's what I'm saying.
I was just saying
I need to work together with people like secretaries.
No, that's mine helping you out, but I'm saying.
Okay.
In
helping me out.
I will need
a copy of the presentation, the yellow one, and with just like copy of the meeting people.
I actually feel excited because they have been told so many times that is wrong. And that's something you can be now as
But then you can, from my point of view, if you do find that very, very wrong and very, very upset about it, I'm just irritated by the fact that you say, how long have you been
It's not right. They may be doing
it. But it's like if you're irritated and upset to the point
I find people saying...
If you are irritated to the point that you really are irritated, you should maybe take it up with internally because your members internally are doing it, not us.
No, I'm not in charge of members of parliament. What I'm saying, they may be doing it, but it's not right.
But I think even members need them.
But for me to say members do it, that's the reality of the situation.
But maybe from your side, what you can do is organize your committee secretaries to do a better job.
I don't have to. I'd rather write 4 minutes according to your status than go to a PMG and transcribe. I'd rather have that quality, but it would be my work, not copying, because that's basically what it is, copying.
I think that's because of that situation, as you said, some other secretaries might do rather too poor as opposed to use the minutes. Fair enough, that's their choice, but then ultimately that's kind of why members will use PMG minutes, because it's more thorough. I'm not saying all, I'm sure yours is thorough.
That's what I'm saying, PMG now is only just being giving a false reality.
I think it's more false to think that it doesn't happen.
Because you know what, let me tell you where members like...
But I'm trying to be very diplomatic here as well. I know you're having full go at me, I'm trying to be very... Because at the end of the day, I have to work with you. If I could voice my own opinions, I'd like to...
You know what excites other members about your meeting? Most members, actually. The fact that they see in their meeting, the minutes, they are named. So and so, they like this, and they think that. That's what I'm saying. Wherever you go for proper committee minutes, you don't say verbatim what people are saying. You summarize the main points of the meeting. You do resolutions. But because of the format of parliament committee meetings, it's usually not easy.
So maybe that's why. Also, where do I even find you? Where do I find you for the book and the copy of the?
Because you don't want to give it, I'm saying,
because if you don't mind, PMG can.
For what?
Just keep hold of the minutes and.
tagging along.
If I understand what I feel, I think it's kind of insulting to think it's like so low, because at the end of the day, it depends on the quality of work. Some people's work is better than others. So what is it? I asked already, she said no. Are you sure I can't take the top off of this?
sorry, do you have a copy of that one presentation, the final presentation that we the reason why I would have to get something else, because they've collected it all, and sometimes they don't obviously use it as a music. Sometimes they collect it all at the end of the meeting. So if you don't have a copy, then I'll have to go get it from whoever the presenter is. I'm not 100% sure, but it's someone else. You take things so badly. You say things so, like, you take it so personal. Yeah, but I mean, if I was to take things personally, like the one thing that you said, I could be so strong by now to say it's despicable and all this other stuff.
No, I mean.
But I mean, I can also take personally
no,
by
no,
accident.
No, I'm not saying it's difficult for you to do that. I'm saying if you think I can never do, for me, something like that is very despicable.
I know,
for me
but
to do it.
I can
like
also.
You are doing,
no, but I can, the way you're spoken about it, I've taken a lot of that personally as well. So I'm choosing to believe that you're not meaning it from that way. So also
no,
I'm
saying
that
it would be despicable of me to do that. To I mean, really. Because it doesn't.
Because
maybe I'm stupid.
No, but the way you think, it's like to use him, you think it's as low as you can go. But to me, I'm going
as a consultant to PMG minutes, to write 9 minutes, is low for me. I'm not saying PMG minutes alone. I'm saying that action.
I understand, but just like how I said now that when I meant someone, I meant someone who has access to it, if you do not have it. So I didn't mean it in an optimistic way. I meant it in a genuine way.
Maybe if you need to show a little bit that
I got a strike fan in the magazine sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then there were two white things that were handed off. One was red and one was yellow on the top. I don't have the one that's yellow on top.
I'm not sure.
It was the very last, it was the last one that was presented.
that? How is it working out? The reason I'm asking is because apparently the statistics isn't working, so I was thinking I was fine. But
I don't know if you can give
me a second. Apparently it's 3 vacancies. Well, there were 3 vacancies, like, last year.
I would never encourage anybody to get a job that left with the any other place in Parliament, I definitely encourage.
How long have you been working? How long have you been
working? How long? But I think that's not the difference. It's not an environment for somebody who is very unprofessional and doesn't. So that's something for somebody I care about, I would never encourage them.
Let's take a look at the strike pattern.
Hey, God, what?